it's one that, a lot of people don't deal with, and that is lying to the Holy Spirit. And it's not coincidental that this is occurring at the very beginning of the church. Just as it is not coincidental in the book of Genesis and the book of Job, that in the first two chapters it opens up with Satan, God, and the warfare that is going on. But now we're really bringing man, even more so, into the picture as we enter into the church age of the relationship of God, personally, God the Holy Spirit, and man, the individual believer. And to understand lying to the Spirit, I've come across at least four different ways in which we lie to the Holy Spirit that we're going to have to deal with and look at. But it is very important to understand what we're looking at really is faith. Because what is the faith that God is looking for becomes a great issue. A lot of people have faith. And they're under the umbrella of Christianity. But it is not the faith that God is looking for. So let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes and we can see what is going on here. Let's pray. Now, Father, we most appreciate for the opportunity to open up the Scriptures. But, Father, we come to, once again, that place of where we must depend totally on who and what you are to open our eyes in seeing lying to the Holy Spirit. Something, Father, that is not talked about that much and yet is fundamental to the church. We pray that your Spirit will open our eyes that we can see in the text and in our lives when we lie to the Spirit and what happens when we lie to the Spirit. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, what we've done is Peter has done a remarkable thing in Acts 5. What Peter has done is he has zeroed in on a major problem when Peter said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" With the human eye, none of those people and none of those things that are going on in Peter's mind, you could see. Peter has brought in Satan. He has brought in God. So he's brought us back into the spiritual warfare between God and Satan and what's going on. And the work of Satan in dealing with the believer, we'll put the believer here, and his relationship with God, in this case, God, the Holy Spirit. And there's just a lot going on that we would not know had Peter not worded it the way he did. But Peter said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And these things, as I said, totally foreign to us to see. It's one of those kind of things where we have to know that Peter himself was empowered by the Spirit to be able to discern and see what was going on in this whole makeup, and that they lied not to man, they did not lie to other believers, but they lied to the Holy Spirit. And where that took us is in among other questions that we've already looked at, but taking off where we left off last week, is to a look at the adversary. And we have noted the schemes of Satan. We have noted some of the things of how Satan can do these things. But now we move into another subject tonight in Peter's statement. And that is, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, we've looked at Satan and spent some valuable time and saw he is the enemy to the believer's Christian life. We saw that. And schemes and just a lot of passages and names and things related to the enemy that we have to be aware of. But now, tonight, I want to look at the question, why? Why does Satan do that? Why does Satan get us to lie to the Holy Spirit? There are two major things going on with why Satan would cause us to lie to the Holy Spirit. Now, one of those, I don't know how to cover this in the order of what will impact you, but one of those has to do with, the first thing we have to do is to understand when we lie to the Holy Spirit, we're not empowered by the Spirit. So, first thing, I guess I'm just going to put up here, and it's the first thing that affects us. Maybe not the first thing in what Satan's doing as far as his relationship with God. So let's just take our part first of all. When you, each one of you, every believer, when you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, what is happening inside of you is that you are releasing unbelievable power. In fact, you are releasing the only power on planet Earth greater than Satan's power. He is the ruler of the earth. And we're going to come and take a look at that, what, some of the concepts with that when we study Samson's lies to Delilah. But let's bring him down here on planet Earth. Satan is very powerful. He is a powerful supernatural being, and you have to understand and appreciate that. And the only thing more powerful, than Satan is the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit is that which is infinitely more powerful, omnipotent, infinitely more powerful than Satan. Now, if we understand that, and if we understand that that is why God, Christ, that God has given to us the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of us. Here's the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can tap into his power. If we understand that, then let's just talk about strategy. What Satan has to do then is to stop every believer from tapping into the power of God. It's just military strategy. It's just a power strategy. What I've got to do is cut off your power link. And anybody that studies military history, you get into the concept of logistics, and where is there a power? When you do any kind of recon, when you do recon, you're not only reconning the terrain, but you're reconning their power. You're reconning how many men they have, and even more important than that, how many of those men, depending on the era of history, how many are cavalry, how many are artillery, how many are bowsmen, how many are swordsmen, how many do they have in each of these things? Now, today, we in a button world, but they're thinking of it in sense of, I got to know where their power is. And then if I can eliminate their power, cut off the power, then I have no problem. So if we understand this spiritually, what Satan wants to do is to get every one of us, every born-again believer, every one of you, not to tap into this power. Now, his strategy and his schemes are multiple. If we just talk about it, first of all, he can do that by just cutting off the whole system. In other words, get your whole system where you think you're in the plan of God and the power of God, if you do the law, if you will work hard, if you emote, all of those things. Piece of cake, doesn't even have to be concerned with you. Does not have to be concerned with you. He's already got you locked out with what we call religion. He's got you locked out by you doing something for God, which, I'm sorry, just characterizes almost all denominations. They're so involved in what they're doing and all of this, Satan doesn't even have to worry about it because they're not even close to tapping in to the power source of God, the Holy Spirit. But let's say it squeaks by. And let's say you have some people, a number of believers, like we have here at the very beginning, who do understand that it's by faith, that we're going to, by faith, tap into this power source that God has given to us, that it is by faith that we're going to do it. Now, what this does is this becomes the real target for Satan. He's already eliminated a mass of Christians. But let's say that there are a few who sneak by and understand that it is faith, just trusting the Spirit. Okay, that means this group of people can tap into this great power, the only power greater than He is. And we're dealing with power. Power is very important here. So we've got a few people who begin to grasp how to tap into the power. Okay, now you're Satan. First of all, you've already eliminated a lot of Christians. You got them off working hard, and you don't even have to worry about them. They'll never touch the power source of the Holy Spirit. You got a lot of people, the charismatic people, who are doing a lot of emoting, but not even near tapping into the power. So, and you got a lot of people doing a lot of great works, morality, learning doctrine, doing a lot of things, and that's their whole life. Don't even worry about it. They're out there spinning wheels when it comes to power. Okay. But now we've got a few people who slipped by, got by that, and see, no, it's got to be by a faith relationship with God. Okay, your strategy now. You're Satan. Okay, I've got these. You don't give up because you're too arrogant. So now what you've got to do is figure out, how can I get them out? How can I neutralize? How can I stop them from tapping in to the power of God, the Holy Spirit? Now, this comes from a long study and understanding Satan's objective in regard to the unbeliever. With the unbeliever, it is to blind him as to the truth of the gospel. We know that from 2 Corinthians 5, right? That's what he does. If it's blind, it's blind to those that they're not going to see the gospel. They may be religious and go to law, but they're blind to the fact that all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ. In other words, faith relationship with God, a member of the Godhead, through the Son of God. So he cuts them out, blinds them to that. That's when he came in, okay, now that you've got by me there, I'm going to neutralize you by getting you involved in the system. But now we've got these who are doing it by faith. So Satan says, okay, now I've got to neutralize them. They do understand that it's faith. And they do understand that it's faith in God, in this case, God the Holy Spirit. What can I do? Well, a number of things. But ultimately, what I've got to do is, I can't counter the power source, so what I'm going to do is counter them. I'm going to blind what they understand as faith. I'm going to hit this. This is, as it were, the trigger the finger that pulls the trigger. In the weaponry, and so this is what I've got to work on. I got to see how I can negate this. And as we saw, and as we are, I don't know that we have. We're getting ready to tonight, I hope, but we're getting ready to see how do we lie to the Holy Spirit. And without going further, I've got to tell you that what we do and how we do, how do we lie to the Spirit, which I want to cover next. We're looking at why right now. Why does Satan want to do that? And it just came to me how I'm going to do this. One, he does this. Why does he do it? One, to keep you from tapping into this power source. I'll come back to that. Let me go to number two. Because I'm going to come back to that one. That's good. So now let's deal with number two. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? First reason is to get you not to tap into the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and to think that you are. But you're not. And so he has, in effect, blinded us with this lie. The lie is a big deal here. This has been one of his greatest schemes from the garden, as we know. Second reason, and really the great motivation, this is strategy. Point one is really his strategy. I got to cut the believer. But what is he ultimately doing then? What he's ultimately doing then is attacking God. Why has Satan done this? His objective, people, is to discredit God. His objective is to deny God. His objective is, from the garden on, his objective, the garden and Job. And I go to those because those are two great beginning points of seeing the battle. To move us away from God. To move us away from God, in this sense, God's power. to move us away from God. This is what he wants to do. Please understand this. In your marriage, in your single life, in business, social life, assembly, what Satan desires to do is to move us away from God. Get you angry, get you discouraged, disillusioned, get you interested in other things. Bonafide things, not stalking your sin, bonafide things, ain't sin, but bonafide things, sinful things, just anything, move you away from God. What did he do with Adam and Eve? He used coming to God, but his whole deal was to move them away from God. Your eyes will be open, but their eyes are really shut. He lied. And people have been buying that lie all along, that we can be like God, we can think like God. So this is what he wants to do, is to discredit God, move you away from God, ultimately move you away from trusting God. This is what he wants to move you away from. This is why this is the battle from Job, first book written, all the way through faith. And if we can see that that is our area, that's one of the reasons why it is, this is what Satan wants to stop you from doing. He wants to stop you from trusting God. Now, if I don't trust God, I will never get to what's the greatest thing that comes out of faith? Love. If I can move you away from God, I move you away from love. This is what Satan, this is the one word, one thing Satan can't stand. It's the love of God that we're looking at last night. So, how does he move us away from love? If he came down and just directly approached it from that angle, he wouldn't get us. But if he can get us to not trust God, stop trusting God, move from trusting God, then he's moved us away from love. He's moved us away from the love of God in his thinking. He has done this. So what he's trying to do is to always bring God down. We don't have time now. We will be looking at it when we get to the book of Revelation. But everybody knows the great I am. That's the name of God. That's God's self. That is the name God, I am. Moses said, who do I tell them, saying to you, I am. What does I am mean? I am means I am the only self-existing being. I am the only self-existing one. I am. I exist independent of everything else and anyone else. That's why you and I cannot say, I am. We are not self-existent. We are dependent existent. Now, very few people know that, and recorded in Isaiah, that Satan came along and he said, I am. I am self-existing. So there is this thing with Satan. And then we know the five I wills of Satan. I will ascend and I will sit on this throne of God. I will go through the heavens. What is he talking about through the heavens? He's talking about all of the angelic beings. All of this great domain here. Rise above the earth. He doesn't even care about you and I. Rise above and go up here and sit where God sits. Be like God. Now, you know what's interesting about that whole thing, be like God? If we had time, we'd go and look at Ephesians. What does Ephesians say? Be like God. When I wait a minute, I thought that was Satan's big problem. He wanted to be like God. Now, God is commanding us in Ephesians, be like God. So what's going on here? Well, we can. We can arrive at all the things that Satan desired by God giving it to us by grace. Yours freely. But he wants to do it his way in his power. So this is why, going back, you always bear in mind this right here. This thing here between God and Satan. The three universes and the battles and the three great battles that are going to occur in history. What's going on between God and Satan? And so what Satan's doing, since it was God who brought you and I, brought mankind into the equation, Satan says, okay then, if that's the big deal, if that's what we're going to war over, then let's war over them. Please appreciate where you stand in all of this. Let's war over them then. I don't think much of them. I think they're maggots. I think they're worms. I think they're insignificant. And I really don't know why we're playing for them, but if that's what the big deal is, okay, I'll take them from you. And I'll neutralize them. And I'll get them in my kingdom. So what is Satan doing when he gets us to lie? He is trying to discredit God, move us away from God. That is to move us away from trusting God. So this is his ultimate objective. And I could spend a lot of time here. I'm not going to. I'm going to move on now. But I want you to see two reasons now in answer to Peter's very important question. And that is the question of why. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to God? And we're looking at the why. One reason he's doing this is so that you will have no power. You will have no power. And secondly, to discredit God, to move man away from trusting God. This is what he ultimately wants to do. And if he can move us away from trusting God, then we have no power on earth greater than him, and he has discredited God. And in his eyes, he has won, if he can accomplish this. Okay, Peter said then, the next thing I want to look at, why, so we got the why down, and we'll keep coming back to this. I'm not through with it, especially number one here. Why has Satan, we've dealt with this issue, all due to lies, scheme, and strategy, to God? Now what I want to cover, and actually to the Holy Spirit. So this brings up our next question, major question we want to take care of is, how do we lie to the Holy Spirit? If this is his objective, how do we lie? How do we lie to the Holy Spirit? How do we lie to God? I know that if I had said that, there'd be a lot of people, oh, you can't lie to God, you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. So I'm glad that it's in Scripture. And because it takes away all of that. Because it says we can't lie to the Holy Spirit. What I want to look at is, how do we lie to the Holy Spirit? How did Ananias and Sapphira lie to God the Holy Spirit? Well, it's easy for us to understand lying to man, lying to each other. That's easy for us to understand. Lying to the Holy Spirit's a little more a greater issue. How do we lie to the Holy Spirit? Okay. First thing that he does, and this moves into the serious part of this whole study. First thing that he does is the great deception, just like with Eve in the garden. The great deception. The great lie. And that great deception is that I can experience what you and I have come to call the Spirit of their life, but I can experience a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I can achieve all the things that he gives, his power, his leading, his wisdom, his fruit. And at the same time, here's what it is. I can be in the spirit-filled life, and by that I mean all the things that go on in the spirit-filled life, and at the same time, at the very same moment, I can hold on to something else. I can hold on to something else. Let's be crass. Let me be crass a moment. Face a moment. This is like only infinitely, it's finite, but this is infinitely more important and of greater intent here, but it's like somebody who's saying, man or woman, I can marry this man, I can marry this woman, and still hold on to my lover, and still keep my lover. This is tantamount. It gives you a glimpse, if you please, from a base example to what what we do when we lie to the Spirit. I can marry this man, I can marry this woman, and bring my lover along, and still be have a great marriage and everything be wonderful, and still have my lover, still have this other man, this other woman off on the side. And this is tantamount to looking at how we lie to the Spirit. I can enjoy the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I can enjoy the power, since that's the main thing he's after at this point. I can enjoy the power of God the Holy Spirit, and at the same time hold on to something else. Something else that I want to hold on to. Now, I'm going to look at several things that go on to what we hold on to. There are two major ways we lie to the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to look at three, and then I got one more thing for you about lying to the Spirit, so I'm going to say we got four. Okay, the first one, what do we hold on to? There are three major categories of things we hold on to in lying to the Spirit. Now, let's be sure we're all together on what we're doing. What we're doing is, in effect, and we're not saying this to each other, we're saying it to Him. I am trusting you. I am trusting you, Holy Spirit, period. I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit. But in effect, what we're doing is we're trusting the Holy Spirit, but we're holding on. Now, the first thing I want to cover in holding on, not necessarily the way I would have done it had I just been doing this in a study, but I want to go from Acts. That's our springboard to the soul study. Ananias and Sapphira were holding on to the world. So our first category of things that we hold on, and there are three categories that we hold on to, we say we're walking by faith, but in truth, we're holding on, and the first thing we're holding on to is the world. Holding on to the world. And people, this is a lie. And one way of wording what I'm trying to say to you is this is not the faith God is looking for. If I can relate a moment-by-moment faith relationship with God the Holy Spirit to a marital relationship, the type of a marital relationship the other person's looking for is not where you come and bring them love, but you've got a lover over here. What the Holy Spirit, the faith that the Holy Spirit is looking for, and the only faith that counts, is faith in Him. Faith alone and faith only. Faith alone and faith only in Him. So here we are saying, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, but we're holding on to the world, and this is a lie to God the Holy Spirit. You're not trusting Him. You're saying you're trusting Him, but in reality, what's going on in your soul, you're holding on to something else. And people, this is the lie, and we're going to be looking at this. This has really opened up for me a lot of other passages and a lot of things going on. This is the lie of faith. It's a lie of faith. And multitude of Christians are guilty of the lie of faith. And what is the lie of faith? The lie of faith is not to man. The lie of faith is not a lie to man. It's a lie to God the Holy Spirit. It's a lie to God Himself. The lie of faith is a lie to God the Holy Spirit. Remember, in dealing with relationships, our relationship with man is love. Our relationship with God is faith. Faith is the only thing that God says, that's what I'm looking for. Because faith, as you remember, is a passive. It can only receive. God has made all creatures, even angels, like a receiving vessel. He's designed us to receive. It's just amazing from the garden, and then even when we're redeemed, how man doesn't want to just receive from God. He has created us just to be a vessel. I just want to pour. I want to pour my love. I want to pour blessing. I want to give. And that is the way He created us. And that's why He created faith. And now, let me see. okay, I'm going to create this vessel, and the way that I will pour to them so that we could have this relationship is they just trust me. They just trust me, and I'll pour. He created us that way. Not to do. We're not a doing vessel. We are a vessel that he can pour into. And he created faith so that, because faith receives. So, when we're talking about faith, we're talking about a relationship between you and God. Trusting God. Cursed is man who trusts in man. We don't trust one another. Let's lay that aside. All this stuff of trusting each other, and that's why so many Christians get into a lot of trouble. I trusted you. And this whole thing of making people get promises and all of this type of thing. No, people, that's reserved for our relationship with God. You and God, and your relationship is faith. Now, just so I don't get you lost, out of this faith relationship, what flows out of that is the river of love, the waters of love. Love for God, love for Christ, love for the Holy Spirit, love for man, love for each other. So that's what flows out of it. But the relationship, contact between man and God, between a believer and God, is our faith. So this is our relationship with God. So therefore, if we understand that, if we say to God, I'm trusting you, but we're holding on to something else over here, it is a characteristic of faith that this neutralizes it. It's a lie. It's a lie. You're not. It's like, and what a lot of people want to do is, okay, I'm marrying you, and I love you, but I love someone else too. And some people say, oh, okay, that works. That you know, you can love two different people at the same time, and that'd be... No, that's not what love is about. It's not the way you do it. And that's not what faith is about. If you tell God, the Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you, and you're holding on to something else, you're not trusting him. And I got it way down in my notes, but it'll probably come up before then. Let me just tell you something. Don't try to lie to God. You can lie to each other, and you can lie to yourself. But don't try to lie to God. He knows. He's better than the shadow. He is everywhere. He knows. He knows all things. I like the old shadow theory. He knows the thoughts of man. Who knows the thoughts of man? The shadow knows. Let me tell you something. God knows. Oh, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And you're holding on. You're holding on to something else. And our first study is holding on to the world. So the lie of faith is not to man, but it is to God. The lie of faith is claiming to God, in this case the Holy Spirit, that you trust. Because I'm going to show you later how you're going to have the lie of faith at salvation one, or eternal life salvation. I'm believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, but I'm holding on to a lot of other things too, just to be sure I can be saved, in case that doesn't really cover it all. And it ain't going to work. So this is what we're going to have here in trusting him. And this is, so the lie of faith is claiming to the Spirit that you're trusting the Spirit, but you're holding on to something else, and that faith is dead. It's neutralized. You lie to the Spirit that you're trusting him only, and that you are under his power, but in truth you're holding on to something else. This is one of the reasons that the spiritual life by faith doesn't work for a lot of people. It's because they're truly, completely not trusting the Holy Spirit. They're not walking by faith. What faith is it that God is looking for? And this is true in eternal sanctification, trusting Jesus Christ, and it is true experientially in our lives. People will say, I'm trusting Jesus Christ to save me, but it's a lie. It's a lie of faith in Jesus Christ. For in truth, they're hanging on to rituals and sacraments and works and morality, and they're doing repentance, commitment, making him Lord, saying something, doing something. They don't just, they trust him, and that's it. It's over. I'm saved. Now, what they're doing is, I trust in Christ, but I've got to go over here and do this other little deal, or you're not truly trusting him. They claim they're trusting Christ, but indeed, they're not. This is a lie of faith in eternal salvation and not saved. Now, why? Why are you not saved? Because you're not trusting. You don't understand what faith is. And this is going to help, this little journey is going to help us get another little picture of what faith is. Faith means I'm trusting you, God, and that's the faith God is looking for. He's looking for each of us a faith that says, I trust you and no one else and nothing else. I trust you, God. And that's the faith God is looking for. But what happens is we lie. We bring a lot of things along with it. It is the deception of faith. It is the lie of faith. And you claim that you're trusting, but you are not. Now, let's move to what they're trusting. First thing in context is trusting the world. Here, money. Here, money. Okay, let's look at the circumstances. Ananias and Sapphira in a very difficult economic time. Jerusalem is under siege. The people in Jerusalem, by that I mean Christians, the Christians in Jerusalem are being persecuted. They are poor. They are hungry. And by the way, religious Jews are helping Rome do this to Christians. And so you have all of this pressure going on, and people, let's face the facts. When we're in rough times, we all want to have a few shekels of gold in our time. We want to have this. We want to hold on to these things. And so what Ananias and Sapphira put up the front was, and they told the Holy Spirit, and the reason they're lying to the Spirit is, I'm trusting you, the Holy Spirit, but what are they holding on in secret? They're holding on in secret to something of that world. Here, they're holding on to money. And that's what causes us to be a lie to him. They're not trusting him. They're secretly holding on to money. Money is what I'm really got to trust. You know, I like all this trusting God stuff, but that isn't going to buy me a way out of here with Romans. I've learned about the Romans from things that have gone on in 70 A.D., and I've learned a lot about the Romans, and I've learned this, and if you give a couple pieces of gold, you're on your way out. You can get out. Gold will get me food, and gold will get me supplies. I know that. So if I have some things from the world, then I can get by in the world. I don't truly trust God, the Holy Spirit. People, for Ananias and Sapphira, for Barnabas, and for any of these people that were doing this, and remember, you don't have to. You've got to remember that. You don't have to do this. But to just sell everything and then give all the proceeds from that to Peter is quite a step of faith. Because, boy, with that money, they could get out of there. They could take care of themselves. They would have some security as far as the world is concerned. But what are they saying? You're just going to have to trust God here. Now, I don't think you'll do it, but I just want to jump here. Don't go to this thing, yeah, that's what we all need to do, and every time, trust God. Spirit may lead people to do different things. See, I would have no problem if the Spirit had led Ananias and Sapphira to say, sell your property, give half of it to the church, take the other half, and get out of Jerusalem. Just get the two horses and get out of here. I have no problem if the Holy Spirit did that. Because I think the Holy Spirit will do that. I think the Holy Spirit will lead people in various circumstances and just taking what was going on in Jerusalem. I have no problem that the Holy Spirit would. I have no problem the Holy Spirit would lead. Let me just make my point. I have no problem the Holy Spirit would lead somebody, sell all the property, and just leave and not leave anything in Jerusalem. Oh, but that's not love. I'm talking about that individual's life and what God has intended for them. I don't know what's down the line. Maybe other refugees of the Christians who get out, they'll go away, set up something, and have something provided when those Christians are able to get there. I don't know what God is doing. I'm not God. I have no problem, though, that if in this time in Jerusalem, God led a man and his wife, to sell property, take their money, and leave in the middle of the night. We're going to see this Sunday morning, Jesus Christ leaving, Paul sneaking out of towns in the middle of the night. Boy, what kind of faith is that? I have no problem with these things. if it's the Holy Spirit leading. If it's the Holy Spirit leading. And I have no problem that the Holy Spirit will lead people in all kinds of ways. Now, I want to point out something, and this is difficult. We like to say, this is of greater faith to sell everything, stay in Jerusalem, and stay in that condition, and just be trusting God and not holding on to money. I disagree with you. If the Holy Spirit leads you and leads somebody, sell the property and get out of Jerusalem, that's as equally great a faith, people, before God. You're trusting Him and you're trusting His leading. Just don't lie. Oh, this is the, we're going to come to this. This is the leading of the Spirit that I get out of town. Well, don't lie to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to come to that. But I just want to take care of, before we go too far beyond this, but what happened here is they're holding on in this case, and it's a perfect study for us to introduce a lot of things going on, how we hold on to the world. And what is the world? This is what we have studied as value love. And we studied the force of love on Tuesday night, and the force of value love. So they're holding on to money. What are they doing? They're trusting money. They're trusting money. They're trusting gold or silver, whatever their commerce is here. Silver, they're trusting it. This is going to buy me food. I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit, putting their money in their pocket. Because this will buy me food. I'm holding on to the world while claiming to be trusting Him. Is there anything wrong with holding on? No, Peter's already covered that. You can keep it. But what they're doing is they have lied to the Spirit. We're trusting you in this adverse circumstance. But they're holding on to the security of the world. Does everybody see that? This is very important. They're holding on. What they're doing here is they're really trusting God, plus they're trusting money. They're trusting God, but they're trusting the things of the world. And this makes a beautiful jump board for other things that we're going to be looking at. So they tell the Holy Spirit that they're trusting Him, but they're not. They're holding on to the world. Now, under this category of things that we could hold on to while claiming to trust the Holy Spirit, not only were they holding on to money here, but they were also holding on to glory from man. See, because remember, this is one of the motivations that Satan worked on. The reason they told everybody that we're given this is because it's going to make us look good before man. So they're trusting God, but they're holding on to the glory from man. Listen, if God the Holy Spirit tells you to sell everything and keep the money and get out of town, it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. And that's tough to do that. There isn't a one of us. No matter how we might like to stand and say it, we might be taken to this position and have to do it. It doesn't care what people close to us, especially, and other people think. Now, we reach that point where we realize, I can't live for how people think. I've got to live regarding the Holy Spirit. But in this one another relationship we have, it is tough for Ananias and Sapphira, if the Holy Spirit had led them to take all that money and leave. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, boy, they just got out of town. Boy, they just ran out of town. Took their money and left. They didn't help us one bit. And here we are suffering and hungry and on and on and on, and start judging Ananias and Sapphira. But if the Spirit had told them to leave, people, we have no right to judge. No right. But what we're dealing with is the lie of faith here, and they lie because they valued this. And so they want it to look good. And sometimes, people, the Holy Spirit may lead you to do things that aren't going to look good in other people's eyes. It may not involve money at all. And you might want to put up the front before people and yet still follow the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. We're going to trust the Spirit, or we're going to try to hold on. And here they're holding on to these two things, the glory from man. Now, they're important here. Again, what did Jesus Christ say in Well, you don't need to turn there, but in John 5:44, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another? How can you walk by faith? How can you say you're trusting the Holy Spirit and you're receiving glory from one another? You can't. It's not going to work. You can't say I'm holding on to faith in God and holding. I can't say you're trusting God here and hold on to the glory of man. They don't go together. You're not trusting the Holy Spirit. You think you are. You claim you are to Him, not to others. You claim you're trusting the Holy Spirit. But Jesus Christ makes it very clear. There's no faith there. You are not going to walk by faith. I trust you, Spirit, all the while you're holding on to the glory of man. You're a man pleaser. And you cannot trust the Holy Spirit and hold on to man. And people, that's very tough. Because if people start attacking, it's very tough to just stand and say, okay, I really would like to have it. This is why we said it in Galatians. It's so important in chapter 2. What did Paul do? Remember that study? Paul said, when I went to these people, I went in what? I went in private to Peter and these people of high reputation. Who they are didn't matter to me. But I just wanted to find out their gospel. I wanted to find out where they stood, because if they weren't in the same gospel I was, I wanted to just get out of here. But I didn't want man to become the issue that so often does. Oh, well, we don't believe what he's teaching because of who he is. We don't want to believe what he is because of who he is. Can't do that. And Paul wasn't going to allow that because he had no place in the presence of Peter and John and James. James was the big shot in Jerusalem. Peter was just sort of the overall leader. And if it came down to Peter and James over here saying, you are saved by keeping the law, and this guy that used to kill Christians stands up and says, no, you're saved by faith, where do you think the people are going to go with? They're going to go over here. It's going to become a popularity vote. And Paul will lose, and the gospel will lose, they will lose. And Paul wasn't going to allow that to happen. So he didn't care about pleasing man. He didn't care about being a man pleaser. If they liked his gospel, fine. If they didn't, fine. But he was going to stay where he was. And he said, we did not give in even for an hour. Because the gospel would have been neutralized itself. Okay, a lot of people lie to the Holy Spirit in regard to a lot of things that we study. This is where that study we came into takes you there. Well, you're just taking time here. No, value love. And remember, value love is one of the three categories of human love, and they're all going to play here. We have, first of all, phileo. Phileo love, which is family and friends. We have romantic love. And romantic love, marriage, and three, we just call it value love, dealing with things like money and glory of man or all these other things. And we're going to see a place for all of these, how we lie to the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit led me to marry this person. Okay. I can't say he didn't. Only you and God know you're lying. Well, and then it's the same with the family and all these things. We're going to come to those in a little bit. We'll come to another category. But right now I'm looking at value love and how they're holding on to things of the world, how their money here, how they're holding on to the glory of man. You know, we can hold on. I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit, but we're holding on to place. There are a lot of people who are not in the geographical will of God and claim that they are where they are because God led them to that place. And I suspect God did not lead them. And I suspect it with a lot of verification after the fact. Not before the fact, but after the fact, even by their own thing. I know a lot of people just had to move to a certain place, and it wasn't a year until they had no relationship with God, broken marriages, and everything. But boy, they had to be in a place, and God was leading them there. Have to go to Mecca. Boy, God is leading me there. People don't lie to the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, don't lie to the Spirit in so many areas of our life. If we're claiming we're walking by the Spirit, if you're not walking by the Spirit, at least be honest with yourself and say, this is where I want to move, and this is where I want to be on that place, and I, you know, and then when I get there, you know, let you work it out from there. But don't lie. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, and He is leading me to this place, and He's not leading you to that place at all. It's simply your love of that place. And you're claiming that He has led you there. In truth, You have a desire to live in a certain place. And so you just lie to the Holy Spirit, because that makes it all right. If the Holy Spirit leads us there, that makes it fine. Yeah, the Holy Spirit led me here. Who can argue with that? I'm not going to argue with anybody. If somebody tells me the Holy Spirit moved me to this place, fine. I just encourage you, be sure you're loving the Spirit. And when we come to marriage, when we come to a lot of different things we're going to be looking at in this, but right now we're in value, love, things related to the world, and places. Notice none of these are sin in and of themselves. Lying to the Spirit, holding on to these things. This is where happiness is. I'm really going to be happy if I'm at this place, not walking in the Spirit. You see why you're lying to the Spirit? This is where you're really holding on to where happiness is. But you say it's going to be from God. But in truth, what you're saying is, God will make me happy here. So you're lying to the Holy Spirit. And you're holding on to this place to make you happy, to satisfy whatever it is that you think that place is going to provide. Okay, there are a lot of things. We could spend time and just go through the long list of things here that we have. I want to introduce the second one, and then we'll close and start here next week. But the second thing we hold on to is powerful. This is what I would really point at, put out as number one, which is why I want to start here. We lie to the Holy Spirit that we're trusting Him, but we're holding on to law. Now, what do I mean by holding on to law? We're holding on to doing. I've got to do something for God. I'm trusting the Spirit. See, it's really clear if we can go to this in Salvation 1 or Eternal Life Salvation. I'm really trusting Jesus Christ, but I've got to do this ritual. I've got to do this church thing. I've got to do this whatever it is. You're holding on to law. But you're claiming you're trusting. No, that isn't the faith God is looking for. That is not the faith He's looking for. He is looking for those who will come along and say, I trust you. Not myself. Not my production. What you're doing is holding on to your self-righteousness. You're holding on to what you produce. And we're going to look at several things next week in this stead. Holding on to what I do. You say you're trusting, but people, this is not. What you're really doing, you're saying, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit in this case. But you're holding on to your performance. You're holding on to your doing something for God. So it's really your performance. And then you're trusting God that if you will do this, then God will do for you. But I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, but in truth, you're holding on to what you do. And we'll study that one, and then we have another one, and then we have a whole different way in which we get involved with lying to the Holy Spirit. Without giving you the third one here, I'll give you this other one. A lot of people, they're trusting the Spirit, because this is one that we're going to have to spend some time on, too. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, but what are you trusting Him for? You're trusting the Holy Spirit to, this is lying to the Spirit, to do what you want done. Oh, I'm trusting God to do what I want. That's why a lot of Christians get angry at God. Well, I trusted God to save my marriage. I trusted God to make me well or heal this other person, get rid of the cancer, take care of the financial problem, take care of this and take care of that. And God didn't do it. That's not the faith He's looking for, people. You're lying to Him. You're using Him. You're using Him as a genie. All right, I'm going to trust God to bring about what I want. That's not faith in the Holy Spirit, people. That's not faith in God. Faith that God is looking for is, if I never solve the problem, will you keep trusting me? Will you walk with me? If I never solve the problem, that's the faith God is looking for. Not a problem-solving faith. Not something that's going to make the world wonderful in your life. That's a false. You're lying. You're not trusting the Holy Spirit. You're trusting the Holy Spirit to do what you want. That's not trusting the Spirit. You're lying. You're lying to Him. You're not just trusting Him. He wants to take you this way, and you want to go that way. You're not trusting the Holy Spirit. And therefore, you become very discouraged, disillusioned with God. Very, very dangerous to lie to the Holy Spirit for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's close in prayer, and we'll resume with the second thing we hold on to, law, and go through that next week. Let's pray. Father, in our journey that we make in the spiritual journey on earth, how pleased that we are that you open our eyes even to where we would take it upon ourselves to lie to your Spirit, to lie to you. Pray, Father, that you will open our eyes when we're lying. Open our eyes, Father, when we're not really trusting you. We're holding on to something else. Tonight, Father, we pray that you will bring us to that kind of faith. And that's a dangerous prayer because it may take some rough traveling. But we trust you. We trust your love. We trust your love to take us to where we would even stop finding the Spirit that we're trusting Him. And to reach that point, Father, where in truth we're trusting Him. Solely and completely. Holding on to nothing else. Just letting go of everything else. And letting you take care of these things. It's so simple to have this kind of faith, but it's not easy. And so, Father, we pray that you will continue to deal with us in your love, deal with us in your grace. When we fail, when we sin, and when we lie to the Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.